Gregory bravely sacrificed himself to become the ship's rudder.
I think that's false.
Oh, Master Splinter's super toads mad.
But yes! Yeah. Yeah!
Two broomsticks at the same time.
Expecto Patronum! You'll never amount to anything!
Completely false.
If it was Andy's Girthy Candy, there's no way they'd ever change that name.
So, wait, is it goblins? Did I get it wrong?
Oh, this one is true!
I am chocolate.
And the theme of today's podcast is...
Wait, are we still in the intro?
Hello and welcome back, listeners, to the Allegedly Podcast, where me and my co-hosts get a mystery topic coupled with some mystery facts, and it's our job to figure out which facts are real and which facts are fake. My name is Alex, and with as always is...
Bah, humbug.
Sorry I had that confusing intro, too. You went Christmas route, which is appropriate. I did a really good Halloween one, and... kind of forgot.
Yeah, no, that's why I bah humbugged it. I bah humbugged your Halloween and Christmas.
Oh, nice. That's a good call. See, you rapped well.
Yeah.
I got confused.
I stopped living in the past of 2 months ago.
I know. It's hard. But Christmas is here. This is the first or second podcast we've done. The second.
I think it's the second one.
It's a transition.
Mm. Whoa.
But
careful, you SJW, with all this transition talk.
Whoa. Oh, okay. Months transition, holidays transitioning to other holidays.
No, there's only two holidays. Never transitions.
It says in the Bible, bro. It says in the Bible there's only two.
Fucking Bill Nye used to have a fucking episode all about it, and then he changed his fucking mind. Okay, that's not how science works.
He's like, there was Christmas and Easter, and that's it.
That's fucking it. Okay, I know what you're all gonna say, but like Martin Luther King Day is not a fucking real holiday. Okay? It's not because of what you think it is.
Yeah.
Okay.
What do I? Yeah. Yep.
Okay. I'm just saying they get a whole month.
Yes.
Anyways, this episode's brought to you by the Daily Wire.
All right. So let's jump to the podcast topic. So today's podcast topic is birds.
Sweet.
Birds. Do you know anything about birds, Joe?
I know there's some big birds. There's some ladybirds. There's birds of a feather. There's a bird cage.
Well, you know as much as I do. Big Bird better be in this topic, in this listing. Shit, have you ever seen how they had a puppeteer Big Bird?
No.
So one of his arms is on a string. And so the puppeteer... like has to sit off to the side and stick his arm up to puppeteer the head and the mouth. So one arm can move and articulate itself, the other one can't outside of a string.
Sick.
It's really crazy. I think they've gotten better about it, but like that's early Big Bird. So, all right. Well, let's see what we got. What are we dealing with here? Bird topic. So put your bird hat on, Joe.
Caw-caw.
There you go. You hit it, my guy. I got a text from the writer. This is an old text from the original. She said she would quit to become his housewife. So that's nice. From when we were talking about it earlier. Yep. Fucking lady ballers. All right, here we go. Fact number one. NASA had plans in the 1980s to launch Sesame Street's Big Bird, there we go, into space. And Carol Spinney, the puppeteer, had reluctantly accepted the invitation. Big Bird's 8'2" height posed a logistics problem. However, it couldn't be accomplished.
So they put a teacher on the fucking space shuttle.
Yeah. So in 1986, Spinney watched the Challenger blow up here on Earth like the rest of us, and children all over the world were narrowly spared having to watch Big Bird blow up on live TV. Yep. Oh my God.
True.
Well, I know that blew up, but wait, in 1986, I thought the Challenger blew up when we were in like fourth grade.
Mm-mm.
It's nuts. So 1986, Challenger blows up.
Yep.
Big Bird was supposed to be on that.
Uh-huh.
Are we sure that Big Bird not being on the Challenger wouldn't have spared the Challenger?
I think they would have launched earlier, and so the day wouldn't have been that cold, so the gasket wouldn't have given way, hence it wouldn't have gone boom booms.
So you're telling me.
But, like, it doesn't, like, I don't know if it would have actually made a difference in the Challenger not blowing up, but.
Yeah, maybe not. I don't know the science behind it, you know?
But, I know the reason it blew up was because it got really cold in the mornings, and so there was one gasket that would shrink and create a leak.
That's nuts.
Yeah. But, yeah, no, I knew about the Big Bird was supposed to be on it, but they couldn't figure out the logistics of it, so they put a fucking teacher on the.
God, though, just think about it. Like,
yeah,
Big Bird's walking up to the space station. It's like, nah, nah,
nah, fucking nah, great.
Nah, nah, boom.
Man, talk about the wrong stuff.
Dude, what if Big Bird, like, out of the Challenger comes flying down? like just the suit can fly and it saves all the astronauts. That is the reality I want to live in. I don't want to live in this one. I want to live in the one where Big Bird, literally Iron Man, flies out of the Challenger and saves the astronauts.
I want to live in a reality where they figured out that spacesuit, and then every year there's an in memoriam for fucking Big Bird.
This is something funny too, right? Carol Spinney, right, the puppeteer. I think she also does the. Wait, no, did Jim Henson do Big Bird?
I know Jim Henson did like Kermit and shit. I don't know.
I know he did Kermit. He did a lot of voice. I can't remember if he did Big Bird, but Carol is a guy. So learn something new every day. I didn't know.
No, fucking names are binary. This is fucking false.
Well, I grew up in a different generation. Carol is a pretty standard, you know.
Yeah.
Chick name. I'm sorry.
I can't think of another dude named. Not like a first name, Carol.
Yeah. Is Carell close enough? Stephanie Carell? That's a dude. I know names can be unisex. I just didn't know that Carol with two L's.
It's not a
is
typical
a unisex
one, yeah.
name. Yeah. So my bad. My bad.
Like
Carol
honestly,
Spinney.
In my mind I was like, that's a tall lady.
Well, yeah. When I saw the person do it, like they were talking about it, it was a dude who was puppeteering. Mm. But sometimes I know that like on these shows, sometimes the puppeteers can change, but the voice actors don't, right? But then early Sesame Street, I think they were both. That's why it's
I think they're still both.
Damn. Yeah, like Elmo before he got outed, that was both.
Mm-hmm.
Anywho, that would have been awesome. Big Bird jumping on the space shuttle would have been super fucking sad. And how do you explain that? Big Bird survived. Like, would they kill him off on the show?
Yeah, right.
Like, would we maybe not have a Big Bird?
We have PTSD Big Bird.
Oh my God.
Just kind of like his feathers are a little fringed in the back.
Oh no.
He gets a little squirrely from time to time.
They're talking to Big Bird. He has like one like milked out eye, right? He's like, hey guys.
Oh,
what are we
what
doing
are you guys
today?
Doing? Oh, we're just building model rockets.
I gotta go. He just like walks off. Like,
hello, Dr. Spiegel. yeah. No, I got an emergency appointment today.
It's like a segment on there. They are building models.
Yeah.
Space shuttles.
I told him I couldn't fit in that shuttle. I knew I couldn't fit.
Oh, God, dude. I told him the gasket was too cold. I told him.
Oh, my God, that's so Why am I the dark. Only one who survived?
There's so many good people on that. It just gets really...
Fucking Sesame Street gets fucking real, dude.
Yeah. They're like, you deserve to live, Big Bird. You are a great person. But why me, Doc? Oh, I shouldn't be laughing. That's bad.
Well.
So it's true, though. You know that for a fact. All right. Fucking A, dude. All right. We're going to go true on fact number one, that NASA had plans to put Big Bird on, launch him into space, and then Challenger blew up, sparing Big Bird. Unfortunately, still a disaster. Let's go true. 3, 2, 1. Bam. It is true. Big Bird puppeteer Carol Spinney recalled the day on the Today Show in 2015. All of a sudden, it goes boom, and I said, oh my God. We all started crying. We knew it was a disaster. It made my scalp crawl to think I was supposed to be on that. Spinney had a 50-year run as Big Bird and voiced Oscar the Grouch before he died in 2019 at the age of 85.
Holy cow.
While never venturing into outer space, Big Bird traveled all over the globe, including to China. Tom Shales of the Washington Post wrote in 1983, Ronald Reagan has never been to China, but Big Bird has been there twice. Maybe that perchance suggests a case of twisted priorities? By now, some of the Chinese may think Big Bird is the president of the United States. Damn.
Wow.
The Chinese likely did not think Big Bird was the president, but they did think he was a spy and generated reports on everything he did along with the rest of the cast and crew. It's not crazy. It's not that crazy of an idea considering Big Bird's extensive White House visits and political connections, including meeting with six U.S. First Ladies and the Queen of England. We'll find out in 25 years that Big Bird was a legendary spy. Oh, that's puppeteering equipment. That's how his eye looks now.
After Could you Challenger. Talk closer to the beak?
He's like talking to children. He's like, what does your daddy do? Nuclear physicist? Whoa. I'd really like to see a badge of his. That'd be so cool.
Big Bird just like infiltrating a fucking... Like fucking, the fucking puppeteer doesn't take off the costume. I'm just envisioning someone comes around a corner and like Big Bird has like a fucking person in his mouth and he's trying to pelican down the throat. Like a big old pelican, but just, it's like, trying to steal scientists.
But it's a puppet, though, right? So it's like pelicaning it down, but the puppeteer inside just beating the shit out of it. Pulls him through and just like leaves him there, and they're like, oh my God, the puppeteer just beat the shit out of this guy. Bears on a rampage. You're like hiding behind a corner. Big Bird like turns real quick. You're like, oh, yeah. Shoot him, all the suits bulletproof. Just bouncing off the suit.
He's got Kevlar.
He's picking everybody to death. He does like a judo chop move with his beak and just puts you to sleep. Oh, shit. All right, well, there you go. It's true. We did it. Go us. Ah, shit. All right. Here we go. Fact number two. Roadrunners can run faster than coyotes, and with their stop on a dime agility, can bait them into falling off of cliffs. I really want this to be true, but I think coyotes get them a lot. Like, I think that's the joke, is that Wiley's actually a terrible coyote.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure coyotes win.
And for our Zoomer listeners, if you didn't grow up with Looney Tunes, there were two characters that were pretty consistently on the show. It was just, did the Roadrunner have a name?
Yeah, I think it was just the Roadrunner.
Yeah, there's a Roadrunner, which is a cartoon Roadrunner, and then there was Wile E. Coyote, who was a humanoid coyote, And the whole bit was he was always trying to get the Roadrunner to eat him, but could never catch him. It was very Tom and Jerry-esque, right? And
I like how your explanation of Looney Tunes is an even older cartoon.
Right. It's hard. Like, what would be the equivalent to today's shows? Fuck.
Look, Zoomers are pretty smart. Google it.
Yeah, go Google. That was my favorite bit in Looney Tunes. I fucking love the... Dude, I don't think I've laughed as hard as a kid to a cartoon as when Wiley went to go light some dynamite, and it, like, instantly exploded. You didn't even see the fuse, like, go. It was right. Just like... Or, like, it just fuses too slow, and it just sits there just lighting and slowly moving, and then he goes to check on it and it explodes. Dude, I just can't. So dumb that I fucking lose my shit. And then did you ever see the ones where he had the sheep, the sheepdog?
Yeah.
And they clock in. It's like a job.
Yeah.
And they clock in, and Wiley's always trying to steal the sheep, and the sheepdog's protecting him. And he's like about to kick the shit out of him, and like the bell like goes, so they clock out for work or clock out for lunch. They eat lunch together. And they're like, "Hey, you got tuna? Oh yeah." And then they go clock back in, and he just beats the shit out of him. Like,
yeah.
Ah, shit. Well, I'm going to say false. I think coyotes lose, or I think coyotes win. And mm-hmm. that's the bit, is that Wiley just sucks as a coyote.
Yeah.
You on board?
Yeah. Well, also, yeah. too, like, coyotes also typically don't do this alone.
Oh, right. They hunt in packs.
Yeah, yeah. So, unfortunately, I think the Roadrunner bites the dust a lot.
Yeah, I think they are pretty fast for birds, but I don't think they're like 60 mile per hour zipping on the highway kind of fast.
Right.
So, all right, then we're going to go false on fact number two, that roadrunners can run faster than coyotes and cut them. Their stop on a dime agility can bait them to falling off cliffs. 3, 2, 1, bam. It is false. Coyotes are nearly twice as fast as roadrunners and will hunt and eat them, but roadrunners can still run up to 20 miles per hour, which is faster than most humans, and up there with honey badgers, lizards, and squirrels, and panda bears, oddly enough. Hard to imagine a fat, cuddly panda bear running 20 miles per hour clip after eating 800 pounds of bamboo, but the internet said it, so it must be true.
Or is that just them rolling down a hill?
Dude, I fucking love panda bears. I'd love to think that he's just like, and I gotta run to the store, boom, and he just takes off. And then he gets there and he's like, fuck, do we have any bamboo at this store? I ran all the way here.
Exhausted. Tell you what, last thing I want to do is have sex, all right?
Yep. Give me like an hour, let me work this off. The concept of Wile E. Coyote cartoon was inspired by the 1872 writings of Mark Twain, who described a coyote as long, slim, slick, and sorry-looking skeleton, a living, breathing allegory of want. He is always hungry, he is always poor, out of luck, and friendless. The writer put, settle the fuck down, Twain, you write good, we get it. Like, g'day, dude. Just hammer on coyotes for no reason. He's like, fuck these coyotes.
Fuck these things, dude.
So he says, there was exactly one time in which the coyote caught the Roadrunner in the 1980s Bugs Bunny special. The speedy duo run through a series of pipes that progressively get smaller. And when they both pop out at the other end, they are both tiny. They silently agree to reverse course and go back through the pipes to get to their original size. It only worked for the Roadrunner, though, and then now teeny Wiley Coyote wraps himself around the Roadrunner's legs and tries to eat him before realizing his prey is massive. The scene ends with him holding up a sign that says, okay, wise guys. Wise guys, you always wanted me to catch him. Now what do I do?
Nice.
By the way, the very first Wile E. Coyote cartoon was from 1949, was called The Fast and the Furious. Oh my god, it is. There's a little thing, The Fast and Furious.
That's fucking amazing.
The Fast and the Furious copied this, bro.
Yes.
Oh my god. That's it. So who's Wile E. in this one? Is it Vin Diesel? He's no, always Jason.
That would
family.
Be Jason Momoa.
But he succeeded, at least for now.
Kinda. But he had the most Acme bombs. So.
Ooh, yeah. Well, no, see, his bombs work, though. Right? Acme bombs fail. That's why you
well, no, they
Acme.
Work, just never in the way you want them to.
They're like bombs built in Texas, right? You just can't trust them.
Yes.
They just don't have the regulations. You know, their Q&A is way off. All right, well, we got it. Good for us. Go team. Are you ready for fact number three?
Meep, meep.
Meep, meep.
Hey, Joe here from Allegedly. Real quick, I want to tell you about this week's sponsor, Newsly. Newsly is an audio app for your iOS or Android that picks up the most trending articles from the topics that are most important to you, and here's the trick, reads them to you in a natural human voice. From the Batman to Bitcoin, Kiev to the Kardashians, follow any topic your heart desires. And while you're there, go ahead and check out their featured podcasts from over 50 countries, like, say, I don't know, Allegedly. I've been using it for over a week now, and I'm loving the convenience of having my news and podcasts all in one place. So come and join me by clicking the link in the description and downloading Newsly for free. As an added bonus, go ahead and use the promo code Allegedly and receive 1 month of their premium subscription for free. Stop scrolling and start listening. Okay, back to the show.
All right, fact number three. The origin of the phrase flipping the bird dates back to the Middle Ages when birds used to send and carry messages. To flip the bird meant to intercept the bird and swap the message for a fake one in order to fuck over the sender and recipient.
Sure.
Is that impossible? Like, intercept a bird in the Middle Ages? Did they have the technology of just giant nets?
Right, yeah, I was like, intercept, do you mean just shoot it down?
Yeah, but like, their technology was crossbows, at best muskets, and fucking nets.
And I got it, they put a guy in a catapult. And he would catch it out of here.
He's got the Wile E. Coyote wingsuit. He's
yeah.
like, ha! He grabs the pigeon, right? He's like, finally, I intercepted this. What was the message that was so important? It's just like, send nudes.
Right. Yeah. Or it was the thing, like, you would just wait until it landed, but you would just get to the message first.
Right, like, if you were like, at the area or like an assistant in the castle mm-hmm. or some shit and you just slowly intercepted it and replaced the message.
Yeah.
Send news.
New bird, send, who dis?
The message that was sent back is just two circles with dots in the center. Like, that's hot.
It's hot. Waited 3 weeks for this.
That makes fighting this war all worth it. So what do you think? I'm feeling false on this one. I'm feeling.
Yeah. Fuck it. Let's go with it.
Yeah. Yeah. I just flipping the bird, like translating to that. Like, what am I intercepting when I flip you off? Right. Intercepting your feelings with my finger. Take that, your feelings.
Right. Yes, take that, your feelings.
All right, then we're going to go false for fact number three. The origin of the phrase flipping the bird dates back to Middle Ages when birds were used to send and carry messages. 3, 2, 1, bam, it is false.
Ooh.
Oh, didn't we learn that the finger was supposed to be a dick and balls?
Did we?
Yeah, I actually think it was on a previous podcast.
Oh,
it's supposed to represent a dick and balls. The only reason why I thought that is because I saw a little picture of a dick that she put in there. It's like a little painting of a dude riding a dick. And I swear to God, it's right here. But no, it says, okay, it doesn't appear we really know the exact origin of the phrase flipping the bird. Oh, but I guess she's talking about flipping the bird, not middle finger.
Mm.
I got it. So, but a couple of sources say it came into the English language as recent as the 1960s. A couple of sites indicated it's related to the English Parliament, where they boo and hiss at each other to express their discontent. Hissing like a goose turned into goosing, which eventually morphed into birds, and somehow became flipping the bird. It sounded like a stretch to me. We know from previous episodes that the middle finger is an ancient visual representation of a cock and balls. And it turns out that the Greeks liked to put wings on wings on cocks in art to make flying phallus birds, so perhaps it has something to do with that. See? Not just a fucking...
Look at you.
Yeah. I'm going to show you. You know what? Now you need to see it. If I needed to see it, now you need to see it.
Oh, okay.
There you go, Joe.
Fuck yeah, dude. Fucking Big Bird's about to blow up on that one.
It's funny because the guy has little wings on him, too.
Fuck like, yeah, dude. It's a fucking 747 dick right there.
Yeah, dude. This is a terrible design, though, if you look, because the balls are actually lower than the feet.
Well, like, feet's only there for landing. Like, you're not...
Yeah, but your balls would hit first.
Not with the air jacket. It's fine, dude. It's fine.
I'm coming in. Oh, okay, I'm landing.
Maybe those aren't testicles.
Maybe it just lands on branches.
Maybe...
doesn't land on the ground.
The front just pukes up white substance. It's like,
the writer says it's called Dick Dragons. There you go.
All right. Well, now you see. So it says, whatever the origin, a judge in Canada ruled earlier this year that flipping the bird is not illegal. From the ruling, flipping the proverbial bird is a God-given charter enshrined right that belongs to every red-blooded Canadian. It may not be civil, it may not be polite, it may not be gentlemanly. Nevertheless, it does not trigger criminal liability. This ruling affected exactly 12 Canadians who were impolite enough to flip the bird. I mean, really what it comes down to is flipping off cops, right? Like, am I honest here? Like, that's... Oh, you can't flip this off. That's it. Impeding my investigation.
I gotta say it's weird to hear Canadians be so aggressive with red-blooded Canadian. that's just never a phrase I would have ever thought of.
Listen, eh? I bleed the red and white...
What voice is that?
I'm trying. I don't hear you trying, bro.
Well, it's because I was doing a Vancouver, British Columbian accent.
Oh, got like it. This. Got it. That's the cheap way out. That's cheap.
Whatever, man. Us West Coast brethren stick together.
C's get degrees, am I right?
You know what I'm saying?
No, yeah, dude. Hey, well, look. There was enough to go to whatever court system Canada has and get ruled on by a professional to say if you put up the middle finger, you were not breaking a crime. Conduct speech, unbecoming a gentleman.
Look, is it a dick move? Sure. Do only scumbags do it? Yeah. But as a red-blooded Canadian, I stand up for your right to do it.
Look, red-blooded Canadians have the ability, but true red-blooded Canadians don't do it, man. It's not gentlemanly.
Right.
Well, you know that there's a lot of bro podcasts out there right now being like, you know, maple syrup donuts and the ability to flip off the Mounties.
That's right.
That's what they want. So, we got it. Dude, we got a 3-for-3 right now. We could just phone it in for the next two.
I usually do.
Shut up. Here we go. Fact number 4. Ooh, in the 1994 movie Dumb and Dumber, the scene with the dead bird and the blind boy was almost cut because John Hughes didn't think it was funny.
Because I think John Hughes?
Yeah.
Did John Hughes write Dumb and Dumber?
I thought he directed it, didn't he?
What?
He directed it.
No, the Farley brothers directed Dumb and Dumber.
I can't look anything up. It's against the rules.
It's true.
Then who? Well, who? Where did John Hughes
Are you sure? I was like, why does John Hughes factor into this? Did he produce the movie?
Oh, the writer said Hughes came up with the idea.
Oh.
So it sounds like he was a co-writer.
Weird.
Or at least a co-somebody, some other maker in it.
Story guy.
Yeah. So he didn't think it was funny. And honestly, it's one of the funniest parts of that movie. It's so fucking dark. Dude, because they circle back around to that kid. He's like, I just thought he was quiet.
Yeah. What monsters? There's a lot of bird abuse in that movie.
Yeah, they killed two birds.
Mm-hmm.
What does it say? Nice. What is it? Nice Hooters. Nice Hooters.
The birds. The owls.
You pop one, he's like, oh, this party sure what is died. This party surely died. Dude, fucking one of the birds gets hit by the cork.
Yeah.
God, dude. Well, what do you think? You think it might have been, I don't know, I think it's fucking hilarious. But then again, you said the Farley brothers directed it, so they could have been pretty adamant to keep it.
Right.
What do you think?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
it's either like he didn't like it or he came up with it.
I don't know. There's not enough gong sound effects. So, I don't know. Maybe John Hughes didn't think it was very funny.
So, if the kid had it and it was like, boom.
Yeah. If it was a Chinese stereotype kid, then John Hughes would have thought it had been hilarious.
God, dude. John Hughes is like on the floor laughing.
He's where is my headless dong? Where is my headless bird?
John Hughes is like, oh my god, this is fucking cool. This is the
funniest shit.
Did you see him as
he killed
kid?
It with chopsticks. Ah. Oh god.
Oh shit. Well, so we're going false. You feeling false?
Yeah, let's go false.
All right. We're going to go false in 1994, the movie Dumb and Dumber, the scene with the dead bird. Wait, so the false would be he thought it was funny. True would be he didn't think it was funny.
I just don't.
So if we're going true,
let's go true,
then John Hughes thought it was funny. Or no. If we're going true, he didn't think it was funny. If he's going, yeah, so we're going false.
Yeah.
Wait, fuck. Hold on. If we go true, John Hughes does not think it's funny. If we go false, John Hughes does think it's funny.
I just find it weird that he has anything to do with that movie.
Okay, so then we're going to go. So if we're saying he does, if we go true, he doesn't think it's funny. He didn't like the joke.
Yeah.
Okay, so then we're going to go true in 1994, the movie Dumb and Dumber, the scene with the dead bird, John Hughes didn't think it was very funny.
Yeah.
3, 2, 1, bam. Oh, it's false.
Fuck.
So it says from things.com and Wikipedia, John Hughes was one of the original creators of Harry and Lloyd duo concept, and he passed it off to the Farley brothers. Is it Farley or Farrelly?
Fairly.
Brothers to make it into a movie. Reportedly, when he saw the cringeworthy pretty bird scene, he fell on the floor laughing. Yeah, and there was no doubt it was making it into the final cut. Brady Bloom, the 10-year-old boy who acted the scene, recounts that during the audition, he was reading the lines and everyone in the room was howling with laughter. And he thought to himself, I don't get why it's so funny, but I think they like me.
No.
They're like, just say this. And he's like, pretty bird. And then he's just crying. He's like, I thought he was quiet.
I just thought he was really quiet.
Well, it's hard to picture anyone other than Jim Carrey and Jeff Daniels as the definitive Dumb and Dumber duo. It could have been a different movie if the stars were not aligned. Daniels was encouraged not to take the role. I do remember that.
Mm.
Not to take the role or even audition. And the Farrelly brothers didn't even know who Jim Carrey was at the time. New Line Cinema wanted Nicolas Cage to be Harry, so they lowballed Daniels with a $50,000 salary, which he accepted to their dismay.
Right.
50 grand, dude.
Yeah.
And then it says other choices considered, Steve Martin and Martin Short both turned down the role of Lloyd. Gary Oldman, Commissioner Gordon. Yeah, we know who Gary Oldman is. Come on.
Come on.
Come on, writer.
Come on.
Fifth Element. Come on.
Come on.
Come on.
And the Nick Cage was Churchill.
Yeah. And Nick Cage were the original choices.
Weird.
Another proposed pairing was Chris Elliott. There's Something About Mary and Schitt's Creek. That one I really need help with that one. And Rob Lowe. God, dude. Yeah, all these weird fucking Nick Cage,
Chris
and Keanu
Elliott
Reeves.
Makes sense.
Does it?
Yeah, he's the guy in Something About Mary who has the rash.
I honestly don't remember that. The only things I remember is Brett Favre, Ben Stiller, and you know, and then the pizza guy, the one
Mark Papadopoulos.
Yeah, he acts like a genius, but he's in the he has the walker.
Yeah,
the stilts or whatever. Yeah, the crutches, and then but he delivers pizza. But the writer did send it over. I guess the line where he says, "Polly, want a cracker?" Like that was improv by the kid.
Nice.
It's got tape on the head. So bad.
Lloyd,
but yeah.
I took care of it.
I got $20 for selling Petey. You sold my dead bird.
Our pet's heads are falling off.
I'm going to send him a message. Oh, shit, dude. That was fucking gold. But we got it wrong. So, okay. Yep. I know. The writer sent me a picture of Chris Elliott. I know who he is now.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had the rash. He's also in something else I really remember. He was the guy from... he was the butler in Scary Movie 2.
Yeah, Scary Movie 2. He's the mayor in Schitt's Creek.
Yep, that I remember that as soon as I saw that. I fucking love that show, so he was great. So, all right, cool beans. Well, at least they got Jim Carrey and Jeff Daniels. Thank God, dude.
Right.
Fucking.
Or else, how would we get?
Could you imagine if we had like any other pairing, like Steve Martin or Rob Lowe? Like, what the fuck? You know what I'm saying? Like Gary Oldman and Martin Short.
I like Gary Oldman and Nick Cage.
Well, I mean, they're younger too, right? This would be in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
So I just remember I'm like, but see, like Gary Oldman, he can do weird roles, but I don't know. It's hard for me to see him like do dumb roles.
Did you see the movie where he played a dwarf?
Which one?
And Matthew McConaughey is his brother?
No.
Yeah.
I didn't even know that was a movie.
Oh, it very much is.
Well,
and it
I'll
is
have to,
wild.
I'll have to check. Is he playing a lower intellectual person? Like,
no, he's just a dwarf.
He's just a short person.
He's a short person. But like, yeah. I think it's Kate Beckinsale. Anyways, Kate Beckinsale and Matthew McConaughey are trying to have a kid, and Matthew McConaughey at one point he's like, "I'm afraid it's going to be a dwarf." Because, like, his whole family is little people, and he's the only tall one.
So, and wait, Gary you're telling Oldman's me there's all brother. These fucking great, like, dwarf actors, and they went with Gary Oldman?
Yep. Yeah. It's really... it's
And
a,
these
it's
guys were still alive, too. Like, Peter Dinklage was still alive. Like, he it's not like
Peter
he's
Dinklage
young.
Peter Dinklage is still alive now.
No, what I mean, though, is, like... It's not like he's young or up and coming from like 2010 or Game of Thrones. Like he was acting before this,
right?
What was his name? Warwick.
Warwick's in there.
It's not Jones. What the hell is his name? Fuck. Why am I always forgetting this? But yeah, he was
but
in
yeah,
Willow,
the,
and that came out.
I mean, there's the guy from Bad Santa.
Yeah.
There's a ton of little people actors
that were like big names.
Yeah. You could have gotten.
Yeah, you could have gotten any of them. I love Peter Dinklage. He would have fucking hit that one out of the park.
Well, I mean, because, Peter Dinklage is a very good actor.
Yeah, Peter Dinklage. So, anyways, so, yes.
Before anybody says anything, I know the little person from Bad Santa is black. So, but it's not as weird as Gary Oldman playing a dwarf, being Matthew McConaughey's brother.
You can make it work.
You could have made it work.
Yes. So, all right. Well, we got that one wrong. So, redemption one. Come on, we got to get this 4 out of 5, Joe.
Sure.
Get the 4 out of 5.
We already got 3.
All right, we're going to jump to fact number 5. Fact number five, efforts to collect live wild birds for Hitchcock's 1963 classic thriller The Birds, including wearing all black clothes and face paint to sneak up on sleeping crows to catch at night to catch them. I don't think so. Apparently you put on a fucking mustache and birds are like, who the fuck is this guy?
No, I think I don't know how they caught him, but I know they got him because is it Tippi Hedren? Anyways, she was traumatized forever.
Like, well, I thought that I thought they were trained birds. Were they not? Were they just like fucking wild birds?
I don't know.
How'd they walk through the birds without them taking off? Isn't that scene where it's all intense and they have to walk?
I don't know how many are just puppets or whatnot. And then,
man, I haven't seen it forever. If they're puppets, they weren't bad puppets.
Right. But I also wouldn't be surprised if they just glued birds in place.
That would have been a great addition to that movie. What if they actually cast like Big Bird randomly? Well, I gotta pack you now. Sorry,
Carol
guys.
Spinner played every bird there. Really wild.
He's just running in between like 50 puppets, like squawk, squawk, crow.
That's how he got into the business.
Yep. He said his name. Alfred Hitchcock is like, this guy is the greatest puppeteer who's ever lived.
He was then typecasted ever since.
Yeah, he's been typecasted as a bird puppeteer ever since. So what are you thinking? You think they just jump some crows at night and fucking now you're in a movie, crow?
Yeah, sure. Let's go true.
All right, let's fuck it. Then we're going to go true that they collected live birds by wearing all black face paint, all black suits, and for Hitchcock's 1963 thriller, The Birds. Sorry, trying to break it down. It gets a little weird. So we're going to go true. 3, 2, 1, bam, it is true.
Nice.
After dumping $200,000 into mechanical fake birds that looked like shit, the studio decided they were going to need thousands of real, live, wild birds to make this movie look legit. After traps and bounties didn't yield enough birds, they followed a flock of crows all the way to Arizona, where they nested in a rookery of about 20,000 birds. The birds were legit, but so were the attacks. Animal trainer for the movie, Ray Berwick, said in a 1980 interview, "We had about 12 or 13 crew members in the hospital in one day after bites and scratches. The seagulls would deliberately go for your eyes. I got bitten in the eye region at least 3 times, and Tibby got a pretty nasty gash when one of the birds hit her right above the eye. How did they make the birds more docile? They fed them wheat laced with whiskey to get them drunk.
Shit, yeah.
And then wired their beaks shut. In the final scene, you see a bunch of seagulls lined on the roof, but what you don't see is that they are all tied down to ensure they wouldn't fly away.
Oh my God.
Since they were drunk, they would sometimes fall off the tank on the roof by their legs, forcing the staff to continuously prop them back up to get the shot. If that doesn't sound awful enough, the wild birds also had lice and other parasites that eventually spread to the cast and crew. Support unions.
Oh my God.
The birds needed a union. God damn.
Dude, yeah, there needed to be fucking
horse fed.
God. Oh my God.
Drunk birds are just like, what'd you get? They're just putting me on this ceiling, tied me down.
Don't worry, I got one of them in the eye.
Holy shit, is that his eye? Got
yeah.
him.
Yeah. Got it out, one pluck.
Yeah, that's talent. Do we have any more wheat?
We don't get any till lunch.
Look, this guy keeps coming over to stand me up, but I don't keep falling off this roof, apparently.
I keep telling him, if you want me to keep standing here, just give me some more wheat.
Yeah. Then I pecked him. But they wired my beak shut, so... All I can do is poke him. Got a couple of jabs in. Fucking seagulls, dude. Seagulls are mean, too.
Yeah, so they deserved it.
Yeah, take that, birds.
If there's one thing you should take from this podcast, is fuck seagulls.
Dude, you should just add a line of flamingos. They'll just stand there.
walk through a line of flamingos, no problem.
To be fair, I think it'd be a little less intimidating. It's just a bunch of flamingos.
Like hiding too, right? Like sleeping.
Yeah. That's a little different.
Just a bunch of pink and white dots everywhere.
Yeah.
You're like, oh. It's like it's got more of a magical, surreal feel to it rather than an intense one.
Yeah.
What are they doing?
They're just standing there.
They appear drunk. Look at that one. He thinks he's a croquet mallet.
They're all this. They're the same fucking. They act like the flamingos from Alice in Wonderland. Yeah. They're like,
you gave him too much wheat, you idiot.
I knew we shouldn't have cast Gary Oldman as the flamingos.
God, he's so method. He ate all those pink fruits to turn himself pink.
He eats nothing but shrimp. It's disgusting.
Look at me, I'm a bird.
They're like, oh my God, it's like he's trying to talk to us.
Oh, God.
I'm going to fly through your windshield. I might peck you a couple times.
Look out. A giant man-shaped bird is coming right at us.
Oh, dear God.
The greatest Alfred Hitchcock movie is ever made. If you look really closely, you can see it's actually Gary Oldman.
We had to wire his mouth shut.
He kept getting drunk on set.
He just kept pecking out people's eyes.
He's so method.
Oh, fuck. All right, well, we got it right.
Look at us.
Look at us, dude.
All right. Well, if we get this bonus, we get 5 for 5.
Look at that.
Look at that. All right.
Plus one bonus if you can name 5 bands or solo artists with bird-related names. Flock of Seagulls.
Oh, okay, yeah. Easy.
Birds of Prey.
Oh, is it just media, bird-related media?
It says bands or solo artists with a bird-related name. I'm assuming Birds of Prey has a band.
Sure. Robin Williams.
That's not a band or a solo artist.
He put out comedy albums, so suck a dick.
He did sing Friend Like Me, so
he is a band or a solo artist.
I mean, he was in the Aladdin soundtrack.
Joe, you're the music guy. You're the music guy.
Aerosmith doesn't count.
They're not.
Though they have an album called Get Wings.
Eagles.
There you go.
Yep.
Yeah, good. All right, so we got 2 legit ones, right?
Yep. Is Thunderbird anything?
Ooh. Damn.
No. Wings is a TV show.
Wings is a TV show. How many did we have to get? 5?
If you can name 5 bands or solo artists with bird-related names.
God. Oh, there's the pop singer Robin. That's who I was thinking of before I said Robin Williams.
Wings is a band. The artist or the writer just texted me.
Yeah. It's Paul McCartney's band.
Yay! We're gonna take it.
Taking it. That's good. And then one more. I know people are just screaming right now.
Yeah.
Like, you idiot.
You fucking moron. Mastodon fucking is a bird.
Fucking Foo Fighters, you dumb fuck.
The White Stripes.
You fucking idiot. Don't you know about the Strokes?
Freebird.
There's always that guy.
Yep.
Fucking Freebird.
Oh, ZZ Top is a bird.
Fucking Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers.
I don't know, dude.
There's a fuck.
You're gonna get it.
I know there's a band named Nighthawk. No. There's a band called Ranger. Lady Hawk. They're named after the movie.
A band was named after the Lady Hawk movie.
Yeah. But if we want a more well-known one, I gotta dig. Keep going.
Nah, that's fine. Lady Hawk works. The band Lady Hawk. So we got the Eagles, mm-hmm. right? Flock of Seagulls.
Oh, there's the Eagles of death metal. So there you go.
And yeah, and Kiss.
No, Eagles of death metal is a real band.
I know. I'm just throwing one out there.
Oh, okay, I thought you were like, "Oh, Joe's just making stuff up." I was like, "No, that's a real one."
I'm sure it's like the Shitty Beatles or Little Kiss, right?
No, they have nothing. So they play zero Eagles. The Eagles, they're just Eagles of death metal.
Okay,
that's just their name. That worked.
I like it. I think we got five. So we got the Eagles, Flock of Seagulls,
yeah,
Eagles of death metal, Wings, and what was our fifth one?
Oh, I threw out the pop singer Robin.
Robin, got it. You don't think we can get one more solid one, like a fucking
more solid than Eagles of death metal?
I feel like we're missing one.
I know there's going to be a fucking big one. And it's Stevie Nicks,
Fleetwood Mac. Fleetwood is a type of bird. Yeah. We get it, guys. Look out for that flock of Fleetwoods.
Just like the one window.
Is there anything with murder?
Oh, I'm sure there's a band called Murder of Crows.
Yeah, dude. Oh, Counting Crows.
Counting. Oh, fuck yeah. Oh, the Black Crows.
We did it.
There we go.
Yeah. Dude, Mr. Jones and me tell each other fairy tales.
Don't forget Matchbox 20.
The famous matchbox bird. Look out. All right, we did it. Oh, wait.
We did it. We named a bunch of them.
Okay, ready? Yep. Here's the answers. Some of the answers. Yardbirds.
Oh, fuck.
The Eagles. Flock of Seagulls. Counting Crows. Black Crows. Sherald Crow.
Oh, that one. Fuck.
Eagle Eye Cherry.
Fuck.
Owl City.
Okay.
I like Owl City. People shit on them a lot.
They had that one song.
You would not believe your eyes.
Yeah.
10 million fireflies.
Aw, that adorable little Mormon boy.
Yep, and they also did, they actually did a remake of All Star that I don't hate. It's completely changed, too, so I'm kind of okay with it. We did it! So we got a plus one. We got a 5 for 5 this week. Assisted 5 for 5.
Fucking Sheryl Crow. God damn it.
Birds don't have shit on us, dude.
Fuck no, they don't.
Fuck them. Suck a dick, birds.
That's right.
Can't peck this out.
Fuck it, we blew them up like the Challenger.
Oh, shit, dude. PTSD Big Bird. Fuck. All right. You want to close this one out?
Let's do it. There you have it. That was this week's very avian-centered, allegedly, podcast. If you'd like to share your own bird facts, email us at allegedly.podcast@gmail.com or follow us on all the socials at allegedly. And find us every Monday, wherever you find your podcasts. And until next time, caw-caw!
And just be like, thank God I wasn't on the Challenger. Oh, no. Oh, God, that's dark. Cut it. Hi-ya!